Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 to 29. This lesson will be on put on the new man. Yesterday we talked about putting off the old man. Today we're going to talk about putting on the new man. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 23 to 29. Let's begin to read. The Bible says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now those are instructions. Definite instructions that are given to believers by the Apostle Paul. And now notice when he's addressing them as Christians, he says you got to put off that old man. That's not an automatic thing when you get saved. There are certain things about the old man that God gives you the grace to deal with the moment you get saved. Some people actually experience a deliverance from certain of the sins of the old man when they get saved. But then there's that continual work of dealing with the old man. And then there's that final work when the body is then glorified. So when he says here in verse 23 of our text, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, you got to recognize that some of it is something that happens when you get saved, and some of it is something that you have to do continuously. Because there's competition between the old man and the new man all the time. Otherwise, he wouldn't have told the Ephesians that they had to put off that old man, or that they had to put on that new man. It's not an automatic thing with salvation, but it is something that God gives you the grace to get done. There's a constant battle there. Now, when he says in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, notice some things. Notice, for instance, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, that there is something that takes place at salvation. In Colossians 3, 9 and 10, he says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. See that past tense? Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. You see, in salvation, there is a certain putting off of the old man with his deeds and a certain putting on of the new man with his deeds. Renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And those are things that take place at salvation. I know that I changed when I got saved, and if you're saved, you changed when you got saved. There were certain things about you. I've watched new Christians. We've got a number of those hanging around here these days, thank God, and you watch them, and there's certain things right away that indicate to you there's a new man living in there. For one thing, the desires change. They become immediately concerned about the salvation of their own family members. It's one of the first things you notice. And that's the new man renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Christ was concerned about people getting saved. And you get concerned about people getting saved, particularly your family members and very close friends, when you get saved. Something they never thought about before you got saved. So there's this sudden thing. And you know that there's a new creature there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 tells you, if you didn't know it by experience, you would surely know it by the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's true. He is a new creature. He is not what he was before. In other words, he has the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. He has the Lord Jesus Christ in him. He himself is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I say he or her. Is their new creature in Christ. Never been like that until you got saved. So there's suddenly a change. But then there's the continual renewing. In other words, we don't just say, well, now that I'm saved, the work of the old man is done and the work of the new man has begun and there'll never be any trouble with the old man. That's not true. There is a continual renewing of the mind that is required day by day. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 16, the Bible says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Paul said in another place, "I die daily." In another place he said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." Now listen, in order to have a successful Christian life as a new man, you need to stay on the cross, you need to die daily, you need for your outward man to perish. Paul said in Romans in a place, he said, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You got to really put that old man down, and then the inward man is renewed not once, but day by day. So when you hear preachers reminding you that you have to daily read the Bible, daily study the Bible, daily pray, daily tell others about Christ, daily have fellowship with Jesus Christ, daily praise the Lord, daily thank the Lord. There's a reason for that, and you'll notice right now in the condition of your own life, you've let some of those things slip, and you're not as happy as you were when you got saved. You know what the problem is? You're not renewing. Some of you have an exercise program. You lay off for a couple of weeks and then go back to the gym and start back up again. You don't feel like you did when you were humming along there in pretty good shape. You see that things have begun to kind of get flabby again. You're not quite in the shape you were in before. And that's because you left off that work, and when you leave off that work spiritually, you're not continually being renewed and strengthening that new man. The battle is a battle for your mind. The battle is a battle for your affections. That's what the devil is going to be working on. He can't get your soul. So in Romans chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, Paul said, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." So you got that competition going on there. It's a bad battle. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, Paul said, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die." He's talking to a Christian there. If you live after the flesh, you're going to die. And that's true, not spiritually because you're saved, but physically you will. Your life will cut short. "But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." And in a temporal sense, that is absolutely the truth. A Christian can cut his life short by not taking care of the body and giving in to the lust of the old man. Now, finally, when you die, there'll be no more problem from the old man because God is going to glorify that body. In Philippians 3:21, the Bible says, "Who shall change our vile body?" You see, that body is vile right now, "that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." That's why we call it a glorified body. "According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." So, finally, that thing will come to an end. But in the meantime, you and I got to wrestle with it. So, according to verse 24 of our text in Ephesians chapter 4, we find that the new man delights in just two things primarily here. Now, in other places, you'll find some other things he delights in. He delights in righteousness, and he delights in holiness. Now, let me ask you a question. You like to go to the movie from time to time, don't you? Tell me, what about the modern-day Hollywood movies do you see that promotes righteousness and holiness when all they're doing is bang, bang, shoot 'em up, cuss, cuss, and kiss, kiss, and the other bad stuff, and then that's the end of the movie? And they do that happily ever after until the next movie comes out, which is the sequel, where they bang, bang, hit, hit, cuss, cuss, and kiss, kiss some more. And you tell me how that promotes righteousness and holiness, because I don't see it. A lot of the television shows, how's that stuff going to promote righteousness and holiness? Well, it doesn't. You see, that Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Your prayer and my prayer should be that we hunger and thirst for righteousness. which righteousness is found in faith. The Lord told us in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So righteousness is the very beginning of our faith in Christ. We find that when we get saved, God made him to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God gave us Christ for our righteousness and took away our filthy sins. So why as a pig would you want to go back to the water? Why rather as a sheep wouldn't you want to go back and enjoy the cleanliness, holiness, and righteousness of the Lord God? Paul said in Philippians 3:9, he wanted to be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So much of what Christians allow themselves to do has nothing to do with righteousness and has nothing to do with holiness. You're just feeding filth into the mind and then thinking up filthy thoughts and talking filthy communication. We need to be careful about that. There needs to be more holiness in our life. John told us in his epistle there in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, he said, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Do you look like a son of God? Can other people tell that you're a son of God by the way you act, by the way you talk, by the way you walk, by the places you go and the things that you do? Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Unfortunately today, the world seems to be getting along right well with Christians, and Christians seem to be getting along right well with the world. In verse 2 he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Well, I have that hope in me. Don't you have that hope in you? That when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is? I do. Well, that ought to yield in your life and in my life purity and holiness. The chastisement of God ought to make us partakers of his holiness, where he comes down hard on us about sin in our lives and we get straightened out. A lot of people don't want to go to church because the preacher preaches on sin. They want to play with that pet sin, and so they stay at home, listen to the preachers on television. They're far enough removed, they don't have to straighten up that filth in their lives. But the Lord will come in and chasten you after his own pleasure, that you might be partakers of his holiness. He wants you to be holy. Matter of fact, Peter said so, right straight up. Peter said so, he said this, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. But because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now he didn't say be holier than thou, he just said, it's not enough that Christians walk around today and say that they're saved. Your life ought to represent something that God has done that has changed your life and put an element of holiness in there that would make other people desire the holiness that you have. And it's hard for them to see that when they always find you down at the movie theater and always see you down at the sports arena and always see you down at the bar. They ought to see you in church. They ought to see you living right, looking right, talking right, being right, not acting right, but being right, being holy, because that's what the new man desires. You really have a conflict going on in your life if there's not that righteousness and holiness winning the victory for you every day. Now, how are you going to get that? Well, he gives you some very practical things here in the text. Beginning with verse 25, he gives the Ephesians, and therefore us, some very, very practical things that we can do about putting on the new man and putting off the old man. The first thing he tells you to do is tell the truth. Tell the truth. He says in verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So why would you lie to somebody? He says, tell the truth. Now, you would think that Paul would not have any reason in the world to have to tell Christians to tell the truth. I mean, after all, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. That if you would go to Jesus Christ and have him in you, which is truth, and you go to the word of God and read it and have that in you, which is truth, you would certainly think that a Christian would want to tell the truth. But you know something? There are a lot of Christians that lie. You'd never notice that so much necessarily, but being in the ministry and having contact with people all the time who profess to be Christians, you can't imagine how many people lie to convince you how spiritual they are. And that seems to be the basis of most of the Christian lies. Just pretending that, you know, it's just a fake Christianity, a pretense to make people believe that you are more spiritual than you really are. And that comes with the day and age that we live in, because we live in the last days, the perilous times that have come. Men are lovers of their own selves. They're covetous, boasters. They're proud. They're blasphemers. They disobey their parents. They're not thankful. They're unholy. They don't have natural affection. They break their truces. They accuse people falsely. They're incontinent. They don't have any self-control. Fierce, getting mad all the time. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, that's the real thing going on with a lot of people who profess to be Christians today. And in verse 5 of 2 Timothy 3, in that text that I was just reading, he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So they have a form of godliness. They're putting on for you, showing out, showing off, acting spiritual. Go to church with their false eyelashes on about 3.5 inches long, and they're dressed just right, and their hair just right, and their jewelry just right, and just flicker that thing, just say, oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank God. Has anybody got a word of testimony? Yes, I just want to thank God for all the wonderful things he's done for me in my life. Dripping. You know something? Paul said, I'm not going to try to convince you with enticing words. I'm going to convince you with the Spirit and with power. What kind of power is there? What kind of presence of the Holy Spirit is there in your life that testifies to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? I might ask you a question. How many people have you been responsible to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ by witnessing? How many times have you read through your Bible cover to cover? I mean every single word of it. How many times have you sacrificially done something, you know, that cost you something for the Lord Jesus Christ? When you ever done that? Just get down there a little bit deeper, you see. I'm going to tell you something. He says, quit lying. Well, it's no surprise that people are lying today about how spiritual they are, because most of them are reading modern Bibles. Modern Bibles are defined for you in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. People say, oh, you always go on with that King James Bible. You know something? You ought to get with the Holy Spirit one day, for about 90 days. You ought to get your favorite modern Bible and a King James Bible and take them down side by side, and you ought to read 5 chapters out of each of them. Just pick it up anywhere. Take 5 chapters out of each one of them and start reading there and read on. Read and read and read, and every day pray, God, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And then you wait for the Holy Spirit. You say, Holy Spirit of God, I'm not wise enough to judge. I don't know enough Greek and Hebrew to get myself out of the door. Now, I don't know all that stuff. All I can do is just trust what I know in English and trust the inspiration of your Holy Spirit in me. I'm going to read these Bibles. You put a King James Bible on one side, read 5 chapters. Read the same 5 chapters in your favorite modern Bible. And you read that like that for 90 days, every day, praying for the Holy Spirit of God to identify for you which one is His Word. And I'll tell you something, after 90 days, it'll clear you up. If you're sincere to learn what God wants you to, and you're not trying to be critical one or the other, you're just trying to see which one God talks to you out of. You'll see if you're sincere to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in the words of God, and not that sensual spirit that seems to drag you around everywhere. Modern Bibles are defined in Romans 1:25. They said, who changed the truth of God into a lie. There you go. It's no wonder that people are lying about their spirituality today. They're in modern Bibles. And if the truth of God has been changed into a lie, then you're going to have to lie about the depth of your spirituality, because you're not getting any out of that modern Bible. Or you can get saved out of them. God can show you a couple of things out of them. But as far as growing in sweet fellowship with Jesus Christ and savoring every word of God, no chance. I'll tell you the other reason why Christians are having to fake their spirituality, because many of them are following the wrong spirit. They think it's the Holy Spirit, but what they're really following is an earthly, sensual, devilish spirit. In James chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the Lord said, if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and what? Lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. People are trying to feel their way through Christianity these days. That stuff comes from the devil, and the stuff comes from the earth. It doesn't come from the Lord, and you have to lie against the truth in order to do that. So, it's no surprise that people are doing it. Well, that's not all he says in Ephesians chapter 4 about putting off the old man, putting on the new man. He says second thing you ought to do is control your anger. First thing you ought to do is quit lying. Second thing you ought to do is control your anger. In Proverbs chapter 19 at verse 11, the Lord said it this way. He says, I'm going to read this for you, just flipping over there. Proverbs 19 verse 11 says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." You don't have to get mad about everything that goes against you. Some people spark off at the least little incident. That's not charity. They walk around and tell you how much they love you to your face. But charity, real charity, is not what you say, it's what you do. Real charity is not easily provoked, is long-suffering, could put up with that stuff. I'll tell you what, it doesn't take much. You light the fuse of most Christians today in a hurry. Now, I understand that Christ got mad. He made a scourge and he chased out the money changers. But you know something? When he didn't sin. And the Bible says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." If you don't get control of that anger, you're going to open up a way for the devil to be able to get in there and mess with you. Now, I realize that there are certain things you ought to get mad about. Paul got mad about some things, but he didn't sin. Christ got mad about some things, but he didn't sin. The prophets got mad about some things, but they didn't sin. They usually got mad about the things that made God mad. And it makes God mad when his people don't worship him right. Makes God mad when they don't love him. Makes God mad when they don't serve him. Makes God mad when they go after the devil and after false gods. But you got to learn to control your anger. For some reason, we live in a very angry generation. I don't know all that it was put into the hearts of men, but when I deal with folks, a lot of times, what's at the very basis of their trouble is that they're mad, usually at God, but they turn that anger on their circumstances and on other people, and they're just blowing up all the time about things. Settle down. Settle down. If it's that big a deal, God will take care of it. Get control of your anger. All right, here's the third thing about putting on the new man and putting off the old man. Quit stealing. Now, like I said, the modern Bibles have already stolen God's words, but fortunately, you can't take them away completely. I have them over here at the desk. God said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." I got them right here on the desk. I'm reading them to you. Been listening to them all day. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, you read in the middle of the Ten Commandments, the Lord said something to you. "Thou shalt not steal." So what am I stealing? Oh, stealing the purity of your girlfriend. Oh, yeah, there are a lot of Christian young men in youth groups that are going out on dates with the Christian young girls, and they're kissing on them, and they're fondling on them, and they're doing all kind of things. And you know what Paul said about that? He said, "It is good for a man not to touch a woman." And they're disobeying what God said. Now, why would they do that? Well, they just want to mess around with each other. They want to fornicate. That's what it boils down to. And so they mess around with each other like that. You end up stealing the bloom of purity off of a young girl's cheek, like Bob Jones Sr. used to say. You'll steal time from your employer, take too much time at the coffee break, punch in late, punch out early, still get paid for a full day, all that kind of stuff. Quit stealing. And in order to quit stealing, the reason I brought up the context of work is because he says, "Rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth." Some of you guys are stealing from the government. You're on welfare or disability when you really could work, but you don't want to go back to work because you'll lose that check. That ain't right if you're saved and if you can work. Now, I realize some of you seriously have to do that. I'm not getting after you if you have to do that. Some of you, you're well enough now, but you don't want to lose that check. You're going to keep on that SSI or that disability or that welfare or something like that. Paul said, look, if a man doesn't eat, he's not supposed to. If a man doesn't work, he's not supposed to eat. He said, study to be quiet, to do your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk honestly toward them that are without and that may have lack of nothing. Get a job. Go to work. Feed yourself. And the benefit, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, is not only will you have something to feed yourself, you'll have something to put in the offering plate. And why is that important? Because the Bible says God loveth the cheerful giver. You want God to love you, don't you? Well, then do what he said. Sow bountifully. Get a job. What else? He said you got to clean up your mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that's to strengthen somebody in Christ, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Well, there's a lot of things. You know what? I bet you can sit down and talk about how big the fish are that you caught, how many times a guy knocked the ball out of the baseball park, how many baskets he sunk, how far he threw the football, how many touchdowns he scored, all that kind of stuff. And you can't witness to that guy that you know is lost. It's at your business. You can talk to him about every other thing. And you're thinking eventually you can sneak up on him, maybe get the gospel to him. Hey, man, Colossians said, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. They need Jesus. You say, well, they're not going to like what I have to say. Well, I understand that. Peter said, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. You see that right there? I understand that talking about fishing and talking about sports is a good way to make a friendship where you can eventually talk about Jesus. But now that you've been talking about fishing and sports for the last 3 years, don't you think it's time to start talking about Jesus? Don't you think it's time that you can tell them about the Lord? Yes, you can. Peter said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Are you ready? Will you tell them? They got to know about Jesus. Clean up your mouth. Look, forget the filthy communication. Forget the dirty jokes. You shouldn't have listened to him and laughed at him. You shouldn't have told him. Go back and tell that fellow, look, I'm sorry. I should have been telling you about Jesus Christ, and I just haven't been. You know, I had to do that. Oh, I had such a bad mouth. There was a time when I was in the banking business. I wanted to gain popularity. I did. But in so doing, I lost any influence for the Lord Jesus Christ, any power for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got on the floor of my den, and I prayed one night, late at night. God, please forgive me for the horrible testimony that I've put around this town. I pled with God to forgive me. You know what he did? And I asked him to repair my testimony, and he did. And I was able to go around to those very same people that I told those dirty jokes to and tell them about Jesus Christ. And you know something? I am a living testimony, and I know others that are, that when I let the corrupt communication go and started telling people about Jesus Christ, some folks started getting saved. And I'm going to tell you something, that is the greatest blessing in the world. Clean up your mouth. Tell them about Jesus.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.